Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Point of View.
Legal matters.
So, good evening and welcome to our regular on Legal Matters. And Thabiso Ntobazana is here in studio with us. And this is a really good time for you to send your questions, any legal questions. You do not have to tell us who you really are. You can, you know, use a different name. You can be anonymous. It's all fine. But really, essentially, we're here to assist you with all your legal concerns. Thabiso, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Nice to be back. How are you?
We are so good. Something really important has happened. And I saw there's a bit of a back and forth within your fraternity. Judges Mehta had something to say about this thing, this Rule 41 mediation. I want to be clear. I understand what it really means. So take us through it.
Okay. So Rule 41 actually has been in existence for quite some time.
Yeah.
Right? It's an opportunity to try and cut out.
Yes. Unnecessary traffic.
There we go. A lot of litigation, and that's what, unfortunately, and the costs implicated therein of the litigation.
Mm.
So with that, it is an opportunity for us as attorneys to refer our clients. Remember last week
for mediation, yes, we spoke about this briefly. Yeah.
So now it's a situation. It's Rule 41 says it doesn't matter if it's an action proceeding, so action is disamonze and all of that, where people are going to give evidence.
Yes.
Or it is a motion proceeding. Motion is when we only deal on paper, affidavits, and okay, all of that, right? The parties at any stage, or by request or direction of a judge, can have the matter referred to an independent, impartial person. So remember, I spoke to you about this matter I had where the parties were Zimbabwean.
Yeah.
And then the marriage was concluded there.
Yes, somewhere else. Yes.
In that particular matter, the judge actually mandated the parties, which is us, to take this matter for a Rule 41A
mediation. Just go sort it out. Honestly.
Go sort it out. Because on the issues, when I read the papers, this matter can actually be sorted
resolved.
Out. We were referred to an advocate who practices both in Zimbabwe and South Africa. So he was in a perfect position to listen to everything and then make the parties come to a specific agreement. That Rule 41 was then made an order of court, and here we are. Costs saved. People didn't have to go back and forth. No trial, no nothing. That is essentially the purpose of Rule 41.
Okay. What kinds of cases does this refer to now?
So it is for everything.
Okay.
It can be any matter.
Our fight at home.
Yes.
Our divorce fight.
Uh-huh.
And we've spoken about this. These things can go on forever.
Yes.
Where we are just angry at each other.
Yes.
It's really not about the merits of the case. We just want to be those people.
Yes.
Give out lomonza.
Mm-hmm. And this is now where we refer you to a mediator.
Yeah.
And this is where all these issues can be conversed. So one of a few things can happen as a result of a mediator being involved. One, which is the best case scenario, everybody is happy, quote unquote.
Mm.
The matter is settled. We make a settlement, an order of court, we move on.
Yeah.
The next case, next best case scenario would be a situation where the parties are now minimizing the issues. Remember in the papers when we're drafting and all of that, everything is everywhere.
Mm.
And now we want to fight for everything as well. So now we're minimizing the issues. We are coming to an agreement that this, we really don't need to look at this. This is the purpose of what a pretrial usually is. But even with a pretrial having been endorsed by a court, we still go back and fight over the things we said we're not going to fight about when we get to court. And then it makes the process even longer.
Because we are costly. People who are silly like that.
Yes.
Because today I woke up on the wrong side of the bed and I'm mad. I'm mad that he's divorcing me. I'm just mad.
Mm.
And so I'm going to just get a month.
Hey, exactly. Mm. I was actually talking about a matter I had recently wherein everything, you know how I always say, I like to start my matters with a round table.
Yes, let's. But there are people who say no. I want to fight.
And as a result of your lack of wanting to come to the round table, it makes matters complicated for you.
Yeah.
Because now when you come and say, but I didn't know, or I wasn't aware, or whatever excuse you're going to bring, I can bring proof that I contacted you as a person in the
profession. I suggested this.
And this was your response to it. And this worked negatively against the other party.
Mm.
Because they're saying, well, first of all, you were trying to tell the court that you had no idea what was happening.
Mm.
And you're just being proven wrong. Not only wrong, but
you
also to
lying.
Be lying.
Yeah.
You know? So, the like I said, Rona, mediation, the way that the court is doing it now is forcing actually legal practitioners, because not everybody thinks the same. So
yes, so I saw that they're not everybody's on the same page.
Yes.
Others, I think it was, and I'm not sure, I just need to double check whether it was an official statement or whether this was just Benjamin's opinion as himself as an individual.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether it's a judge's matter's opinion or himself as Mbekezile Benjamin, who I think was saying that they're not happy with this, what I think is a directive.
Yes, the directive, yeah. So, the beginning of the year, Rule 41 was made mandatory.
Yes, yeah.
So, it's already been in place.
Mm.
But now, what I can say is that the judge president is now forcing it down people's throats.
Yes. He's saying, do not come to me.
Yes.
And if you're going to come to me and you did not manage and you've tried, you have to then give me that.
Correct.
Prove to me
yes.
that you actually went for mediation and it didn't work or whatever the case may
yes.
be.
Yes. So, it's not like it's something that hasn't been there already. It's just that people are not following it anyway.
Tell me why others oppose that view.
For mediation.
Yes. Why they think that, you went right there. That was such a simple answer. Of course. I get it.
Yeah. Because if something is
lawyers are going to be
correct,
missing out.
Correct. And if you as the attorney choose not to be the mediator, remember, just because Pimelo came to me doesn't mean I can't call Mudibedi. And I end up being the middleman between the two of you. And then we end up coming to a settlement agreement. You know what I mean?
And then it's done, dusted quickly.
Exactly.
As opposed to dragging it out, costing everybody money. It's money.
It's really money. Of course, there may be other reasons that people are going to raise.
No.
But in my humble opinion, we like the honesty. Yeah.
We like the honesty. Okay, so let's get straight to it because lots of people are waiting to talk to you in Tabi Singh. 086-000-00959. Let's allow everybody to call in as well. And you can also send the voice notes on 063-688-0959.
We wathi in 2015 umamama uye washona uthe makashona umama kwaba nenkinga in terms of indlu kweza u girlfriend kamkhulu bekanaye like him wangikhipha endlini so ngahamba ngaye e police station bangisiza ngayonke into wayenzelwa ama protection order kwafika i-date saya e-court bamtshela ukuthi aze namaphepha wendlu ifindle yakhe. Okay, masifika e-court umuntu makamele akhiphe amaphepha wendlu akanawo amaphepha wendlu. E-court bamnikeza i-warrant of arrest ukuthi angaphinde aze kuleyo ndlu leyo akuseyakhe. Okay, fine, bathi ngibuyele endlini yasekhaya. 2016, 25 of August, same law abamnikeza i-warrant of arrest. Sekashada no umkhulwane and umkhulwane ushone 2003 yena ushada nomkhulwane nge-25 saka August 2016 uthengisa indlu ngobutsotsi yasekhaya. Sonke lesikhathi lesi, okay, ngihlala kuyo indlu, but manje khona into engayithandanga eyayenzeka last year. Lo abamthengisela indlu uyasuka ungilandela ama fake police na bonke labantu. Labantu laba, they are not even police, they are not even sheriff. Bayangikhipha ngibuyele mina ekhaya, ngibuyiselwe i-community. Hawu, labantu same sebasuka manje sebathi ngenza i-trespassing, kufika amaphoyisa sengiyaboshwa. Okay, ngiboshwe, mangifika e-police station azange ngachajiwa, azange kuthathiwe ma-fingerprint, azange kwenziwe next. Bangitshela amaphoyisa ukuthi le ayikho. The following day, we were a court njengenjwayelo. A court, but no, puti, le case le ayikho, wena buyele ekhaya. This year,
but
waphinda same thing baza na these same papers. So wena uthini wena as usisi Ntabiseni kwi case eso abantu mangabe bayayazi ukuthi lento abayenza i wrong but baqhubeke bayenze.
I have heard of a case so similar to this where people earmark an individual who they know has just lost a loved one, and the people who are supposed to be administering all of these things get involved. There's a bestselling of a house. Oh, this is so ugly.
It is horrible. It's so, yeah, no. So it sounds like it's a few things here. There was supposedly an eviction matter, which the owner failed to prove that she has any ownership of the property, and the caller or the person in the voice note was ordered to go back home. Now, the situation is that this woman was... It sounds like... No, actually sounds like it was a protection order, because if he has a warrant of arrest for this woman, a warrant of arrest goes hand in hand with a protection order. So what he can do now is that with that warrant of arrest, he can take it to any police station and say this person's violating an actual court order, and then that person be arrested. Now, if he has the names or information of the fake police and everybody who's assisting this woman, they can be added as the co-accused on the criminal charge.
Where the story is a little complicated.
Yeah.
Is it seems, unless if he can prove it didn't happen.
Yes.
It seems that when the transaction happened between the father's, whoever that person is, lover, whatever, and a new owner
came into play. Yes.
When that transaction happened, it didn't serve this particular caller because the new owner is not involved in all of this. So how does he resolve that? And for instance, the transaction that happened between this person who was the father's whatever and the new owner, you can't undo that, can you?
You can.
Okay.
Because it's what we call a male fide contract. Okay. So it is a contract that was concluded in bad faith without giving actual information. So it makes that contract null and void.
So those monies that exchanged, what happens there?
That's their problem.
Okay.
So the new owner would then have the choice to either sue or open a criminal charge against this
woman, the seller.
So that would be their own problem. So what he would need to do is that Akira, he also mentioned that there is now allegedly a marriage certificate.
Yeah. So from what I'm hearing you say is that all this stuff that they did,
yes,
to acquire the home, to sell the home, it seems like it is bogus.
Yes.
He's got nothing to do with that. How does he then remove himself from that, all of those arrangements?
So with the protection order that he has that goes hand in hand with the criminal charge, that warrant of arrest, I beg your pardon, that is our criminal charge. And then when it comes to the issue of the fraudulent marriage that is there,
yes,
because Mkolo died in 2003 and then this woman got married in 2016. That is also now another charge. That's fraud. It can fall under both criminal and also a civil suit. So he can approach legal aid. Legal aid will be able to assist him, or a law clinic.
Okay.
Assist him with these things, with the proper letters to send to these people. And then also approach the court that gave this woman this warrant, which means he also has a copy of it, or at least the case number. Approach the court and say, this person is in violation of this, and have this person, this woman, arrested, along with everybody else who is assisting her in getting him out of the house.
Wow. Okay, before we go to the next voice note, I want to take a call quickly from Togozani, who's in Malvern. Hello, Togozani.
Hi, Ostanel, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for calling.
I'm fine, thanks. Okay, so mine is actually it's more academic. So maybe she can take it at the end of the show when she's done with everyone. Because it's a legal question that really bothers me. It really creates my carrot.
Yes, sir.
And I would really love to understand opinion, a personal opinion as I'm saying, on customary law. obviously, as someone who's been listening to this show in this segment, you'd probably know why I am.
Yes.
Customary law, really.
Oh, good. Thanks, Tokozani. I like that question. Thank you so much.
We'll deal
with that. Yeah, obviously, public commentary right now happening.
Yeah.
People have opinions about other people's lives. Yeah.
Everything.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. Should we take a quick a voice note? Let's do that.
Hi, Ospimelo and Ausintabi Singh. Ish, I just want to ask a question. A neighbor of mine is looking after her grandkids. The mother died in 2021. She's been receiving grants and doing everything for the two boys. They're still in school. Now when he went to try and apply, because the older one needs to get an ID next year or this year, I'm not sure. Now they found out the mother is married. There's death certificate. She was never married to anyone. They found out a surname they don't know. They say the mother is married. They can't issue anything. Now the SASSA is stopped and everything. Where do we start with this? I don't know what is happening. I don't know. You know, the child is in need of so many things. The other one was going through a social worker because he had other problems, psychological problems. Now everything has stopped because now the mother was married. So they need proof of things. I don't know what proof they want. I don't know what is needed. Please help. We don't know who to contact or what to do because the mother's death certificate was written and married and she was a ngobo. So now there's another name we don't even know, or is this one that of scams, maybe someone sold the ID but then was married 2024.
Yeah.
And this person died in 2021. So I don't know what's happening.
It's identity theft.
Please help. Thank you.
It's identity theft.
So what they need to do is not only supply with the death certificate, obviously, that shows that this person died before this marriage happened, and then, or alleged marriage at least, and then also Home Affairs must give them a copy of this marriage certificate because, but here's the thing, I know most likely estate, the deceased was not dealt with because that's always easy proof to get from the master's office to say, this person died. This is the deceased estate. This is how it was handled. So from what I can gather, it's very likely that mom's estate was not handled. Be that as it may, there is a death certificate that predates the marriage. So now Home Affairs must give them, she says there's a list that they're supposed to submit. So I wish you could tell us what exactly is on that list, because what usually happens is that what you need to do is have an attorney just write them a letter. I don't know why, what it is about getting an attorney's letter that makes things change. But if you're speaking to people who don't understand the process of the law in that aspect, because it would be having the marriage declared null and void because the deceased was already gone by the time this marriage happened, or making an application to the court to have the marriage declared invalid. So it can be done either internally depending on the process of Home Affairs, but the most recommended way is obviously making a quick application to the court to have this marriage declared null and void, and then that court order is used to update onto the Home Affairs system, and then it rectifies everything. But Home Affairs must provide them with the marriage certificate because it will show us when exactly this marriage was concluded, and then the list of the things that they need to provide, and then they can approach a law clinic.
I think maybe by a legal aid.
Yes.
They can maybe also guide them through.
Correct.
I think go to, legal aid is free.
Yes.
Especially, I mean, it sounds like the circumstances would warrant that. By a legal aid, and then they'll be able to walk them through everything at no cost. So I think that's the greatest help you can give that family.
Yeah.
People don't realize just how much this corruption disrupts other people's lives. And I think, it's quite a pity. Did we have a voice note? Yes, we have a voice note.
I just want to ask, do the ref pays if someone died in the accident? So they pay the family just because they lost someone. They lost their beloved somebody. Or Another thing is that I just wanted to ask if it pays if I was involved in an accident, but I was drunk or I was driving reckless and I caused the accident, then do ref pays me?
Okay.
For
good
the
question. Good question.
Remember, RAF is going to try and prove negligence on your part. And they don't need to prove a huge margin. They just need to prove 1%. So if the 1% says you were drunk already, all the claims that you would have wanted to, you are the negligent party, you are not going to get what it is that you want. You entered into a vehicle knowing you are not going to be able to drive because you're drunk. Put that one aside. It's not going
even
to
happen.
Even
if the person has died.
Yes.
Yes.
So that one is easy to answer. Now, when it comes to payment of RAF money for somebody who is deceased in an accident, a lot of variables are considered. For example, the first one would be, is this person employed? Because these things determine how much you're going to get.
Breadwinner.
All of these
things.
How
many people they were looking after.
Exactly. The list is that long. And then after all of that, let's say you were not employed then.
Yes.
But then maybe you were actively looking and there's such proof or whatever, then there's an actuary that can be appointed to say you could have, with your level of education, been able to get a job that's going to pay you approximately this much. So your life expectancy would have been equated to this much, and then it would put into the money that you would, that, or the family at least, would be awarded. Of course, things like funeral costs and all of that, the court does sometimes take them into consideration to compensate the family who's going through this. But like I said, the variables differ depending on the deceased, what kind of life that they led, employment, non-employment, education, non-education, all of those things are taken into consideration when a claim with the RAF is made.
Okay. Mm. So if you are negligent, don't do it. Don't do it. Even if he died, it's okay.
Yeah.
Let the family just, it's okay.
Yes. Mm. Because sometimes you may find out the RAF is not claiming against you because now you caused someone else.
Other people's.
Yes.
So, Ntabiseng, we have that question. Okay. Customary law. Let's talk about that before we go to our other issue. So there are public hearings at the moment.
Yeah.
On marriage. So we're trying to consolidate all the laws, right?
Oh, yes, with the new marriage bill.
Correct.
Yes. So it's going to be interesting to see how it's going to work out as we stand right now with customary marriage. I think we've said this so many times, is that when Mahadi Lobola is paid, whether in full or not, you are automatically married in community of property, right? So with the new marriage bill, it is looking to try, instead of having the Marriages Act, the Civil Unions Act, the Customary Recognition of Customary Marriages Act, what's the fourth one? There's four legislations that deal with marriages. Mm. So all of that, they're trying to just put it under one umbrella, which makes sense.
Mm.
But with the different variables for customary and Muslim marriages,
yes,
it becomes a bit of a problem.
Mm.
So what has been discussed, well, I haven't listened to the discussions, I won't lie, because of court, but what I have read through the bill and the comments that were made at the time was that with regard to customs already in different courts are divided, but there's a general understanding that if you can prove that Mahadi was paid, i.e. you can bring Pepechan that shows that Bomalume went and all of those things, even if Mahadi is not fully paid, that will be declared as a marriage. Ne? So what this bill is also looking to do is also going into the area of polygamy. Whereby, yes, it is understood that in order for a polygamous marriage to be recognized, the first wife needs to have given consent for the second wife to come on board. So now that kind of marriage also dictates to how it is the estate will be dealt with, come divorce, come
death,
come death, right? So now this one being codified the way that it's going to be is going to make it rather strict. And already, like I said, there's issues because, in for example, in isiZulu, the custom is that inyongo, all of those things have to be followed for umakoti to be received in the family. So if it's codified and we as the Zulu family choose for this to happen and it didn't happen and we don't recognize you, we go to court and then the court says, but everything else was done, it's only this small portion, therefore you're married. With this one, it doesn't take into consideration much of the customs that would be followed by any of the cultures that exist within our law. And that also goes into, I mean, just recently, is it last year? We just recently, Muslim marriages were being attended to in terms of the wife being able to inherit from the estate of the deceased husband. That was just last year. So that itself hasn't been developed and the understanding of that is not really there. So trying to put everything under one umbrella is going to be very difficult because now how are we going to address all these other areas wherein the courts would be the correct forum to try and interpret and develop customary law. So I think that's where, that's where the issues are really arising. How do we make sure that we are not shunning customary law?
Because it has developed. To be fair, you've obviously heard when we have this conversation, you do have a lot of people who question the law as it stands, almost in a way saying it's imposing itself on our customs, right? And there really is that general consensus to say, no, this is how we've done things. This is an imposition of what is now the law onto our culture or how we understand things. I mean, that has been contested. You've heard it many, many times before. So, and essentially the law is also supposed to reflect back society and how society sees its own cultures and so on. So it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. And remember, our constitution also stipulates that cultures and traditions must be respected. And with that, that's why we have the traditional forums that speak to the development and growth of customary law. So you cannot develop customary law without getting the traditional forums involved. Now, with that being said, our law, unfortunately, a lot of it, and I do mean a lot of it, is still stuck in apartheid. It was only in 2004 that black women could inherit from their husbands' estates as a result of the Bear case. That's only what, 21 years ago, you know? But even with that, because of the Administration of Black Estates Act, we were not allowed as black people to have the Wills Act or the Interstate Succession Act or the Administration of Deceased Estates Act applicable to us. We had our own law that dealt with how black people should be dealt with. And we also had our own law that dealt with our marriages, how they're supposed to be done. So that is also speaking to the lack thereof of tradition being involved in the laws back then. Now trying to bring tradition into the democratic era wherein we are coming from a position where the law used to say this is what you're supposed to do, we're dealing with issues. Because in the Bear case, for example, the law of primogeniture that Boa Buti are going to take everything that my husband and I worked for, then it is deemed culture as a result. Do you see what I mean? And yet it was codified in the law to say that they are entitled to do that. Is it culture or was it the law that was imposed on the family? You know, so these are discussions that need to be had so that we can be as frank as possible. Yes, there's many cultures, but we are merged at some stage. There's places where we are the same. Can we agree as traditional forums, inclusive of the law, when we are developing it, that this is where we agree would be the middle point? Because even if Umusoto getting married into a Chivenda family or whatever the case may be. The middle ground usually is this. So if the minimum requirement of this is met culturally, then we can accept that customary law.
My little two cents worth.
Yeah.
Religion and culture, there's never middle ground.
Never. Never.
I'm just saying, generally, you know, Orthodox religion and people who are really staunch believers in a particular culture, generally,
yeah,
there's no middle ground. Umfaz.
Yes.
So I don't know about the middle ground. I don't know. Because part of what's coming out of these public hearings, again, to be serious, are other issues, speaking exactly to what I'm saying about culture and religion being, you know, unfortunately not so grey, is issues of the LGBTQ plus community, where they categorically do not want to have the conversation. They are not interested in human rights.
They say, recognize them.
The Bible said. Mm. End of story. The Bible said, the Quran said, whatever the case may be. And that's unfortunately where the culture, religion does not meet the constitution.
Yes.
And our constitution is so left. Mm. So that's going to be part of the tensions, because our constitution recognizes gay marriages.
Yes.
Gay and lesbian marriages.
That's why we have the Civil Union Act to try and deal with that.
Correct. Mm. But when you listen to people making inputs right now on this roadshow, they do not want to have it. They want all of this reversed right back. You know, these people is how they're referring to them. And it's become, I would say, quite hostile.
Mm.
And that does bug me, in the sense that, I mean, can we reverse some of the gains?
I don't think so, without having to finding ourselves trampling so much on people's rights, that how are we going to justify it?
Mm.
I mean, just getting to the Civil Union Act was such a journey.
Yes.
It was such a journey.
But you listen to South Africans, and South Africans are not, they don't want to hear it. They want this entire thing scrapped. So I don't know. It's very sensitive.
It is extremely sensitive. Mm. And I remember one of the questions I was also asked was, with the LGBTQ community, customary law, how would that work? Mm. Because kasetso ke monna antang mahadi for the woman.
Mm.
So now if it's a woman and a woman, or a man and a man, how do we then address that issue? How do we then say that a customary marriage existed in that particular instance, wherein the requirements are that it must be an adult, an 18-year-old who is a man and a woman in this aspect?
We must accept culture is fluid.
Yeah.
We must accept that even what we call culture has in the most part been adaptation of other people's cultures, incorporated into a particular culture, and sometimes then has this label culture. And when you peel back the layers, it has got interesting backgrounds. Let's take a quick break. While we come back, we've got a few voice notes, and you're very welcome to also be a part of this conversation. 086-000-0959. Call in, ask for your advice from Ntabi Seng. You can also send a voice note on 063-688-0959.
Voice note your point of view on WhatsApp. 063-688-0959. Kaya. 959. On the street. On the air.
Good evening, Ntabi Seng and Pamelo. A quick one. I just wanted to find out if it is a normal police practice that a person can be allowed to go and look for their own pockets. I previously had to write to you regarding my pending cases, and then I went to the police station where the matter was. And when I went there, because in Pretoria they said they must fill a form called S68, if I stand corrected. However, they told me they won't fill that form. I must go and look for my docket. So I'm wondering if it's a normal practice, because I was sent into that room with lots of files and papers, and then they told me I must go through all of these things so that I can file my my dog get and my cases in there. So I'm not sure because I don't know how to proceed in Thabiseng. Because I don't know if I'm even allowed, because they just left me in that room alone, and then I had to go through all these other files and everything, and I ended up giving up. So I don't know how would you advise me to go about it, because now it's been forever now. Thank you.
This is how people's files go missing.
Yes, actually, it's exactly how.
Oh my gosh, no.
So here's the thing, man. With courts, and I'm assuming the police station and law firms, we now have to keep our files for 7 years. It used to be for 5 years. Ne? Anything beyond that, it goes into their storage wherever. So if you want a file, yeah, whatever year, they must at minimum, at least for us as officers of the court, they will leave you to go through all of those things until you find your file. Ne? But as a lay person, I don't understand why they either, one, didn't accompany you, even if the person is not physically going through the files, but somebody is there, or two, give you direction that in that storage,
this is the order.
But unfortunately, with that as well, everything is just thrown in there, and then they wish you the best of luck. So as to whether it's a norm for a lay person to do that, that sounds very no for me. That it doesn't sound right. I don't work in the SAPS, so I don't think that sounds right. I would actually go and lodge a complaint to say, I am requesting assistance. I do not work here, and this is what was given to me for the SAPS to do, and then they refused to do it, and then asked me to go rummage through files. Because what if in those files there it's an active case, and now you've messed it up, and now you're going to be blamed for missing files or stolen anything?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. If you were an officer of the court, I would understand, but this doesn't make sense.
So,
lodge a complaint.
What must you do?
He must lodge a complaint.
Does anybody care?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not like.
Yeah, no. One caller.
No, I'm trying to say. I hear you.
I know.
Officer of the court, I hear you. How do we help him? Because, like, that's other admin. Lodging a complaint, that's admin number. Another admin on top of the problems he has.
There's nothing else he can do except admin. Because
so how does he get his file?
Go back and station commander. And then they must fill in the form that was requested that you fill in. There must be a reason why they asked you to fill in that form.
South Africa ki movie. Guys, he must just go. He must just go, give himself a day. Or two, or three.
With three other people.
Or a week, or two, or three. With three other people. Tlanga's kaftin. Have a picnic there. Relax. Just chill. Bring yourself some little music. And that's it. I mean, what do you do? Otherwise, you're going to cry.
Yeah, because it's not like it. Then it's not like they're saying we're not going to help you.
But kisa la storage, ribizi, and I can't net babies. I'm not saying it's right. I'm definitely not saying it. I'm just saying, I don't know. You're gonna have to work with what you have.
Yeah.
I wonder if they would allow you to bring in other people for assistance.
I don't see why not. I mean, that storage, if yeah,
so not because I'm practical like that. Job creation, papa. So more about that. Two unemployed young people who are proficient, who are clever, create a little job for a week. Just get permission from them.
Yeah.
If you can comb through the stuff. Maybe in a week's time, these two young people can
we'll
get your file.
Something. Yeah.
Give them some nice, interesting stipend. No, I'm not joking. I'm being serious. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I don't even know what that fee would be like, but I'm just saying.
Gee,
okay,
man.
Let's take a listen to another voice note.
Hello, Pimelo and Thabise. My name is Kunene Benjamin, and I would like to know In terms of these mediation processes, right, I'm an accounting and tax specialist. So what I wanted to know is, what steps can I take in order to participate in the mediation processes, assisting in maybe arriving at the resolution or the conclusion of the mediation? So what can I do? I don't have any legal background of any sort other than the tax qualifications. Thank you.
I think there are courses.
Yes,
from my
really
understanding.
Are.
I think there are. I think it's life coaching as well, mm-hmm. or something like that. There are different coaches. Courses. Mm-hmm. That you can start doing, and it's. I think it's not that long. It depends on. So the length depends on how well you do. You can decide to write your exam tomorrow or the next day. You know what I mean? And then you can get it that way. So go ahead and look at. I think it's called life coaching.
Yeah,
coaching. Courses
and then you can register with the mediation board or whatever. I forgot the abbreviation thing. And then with that, when people are referred for mediation, you are one of the people that are used there, or you put yourself out there as a person, and also
you don't have to be a lawyer.
I
know a lot of people who do this work who are former teachers, whatever. You don't have to be a lawyer, so it's just something that you're interested in. Try it.
His speciality would help in divorces, in company disputes, and all of that, because he has the financial understanding. Mm. So he'd be able to assist people in a much easier
way.
Very nice question. Yeah.
Hi, I was Pamela and your guest. I have a question where identity theft is concerned. When a non-South African acquires an illegal, a South African identity, can they get a new ID number that doesn't belong to any South African? As, for an example, you have a child is born, and therefore there is a birth certificate and all the papers are in place, and therefore they will have their unique number. Is it possible with illegal identity theft? I hope my question is clear.
No, it wouldn't be possible. So just like the term itself, it's identity theft. So everything about Ntabiseng is being acquired by this new individual, from ID number, name, sex, all of those things. Or is it gender now? All of those things are being acquired by that particular individual. The only time, and I don't even know how Home Affairs would probably even deal with it, so I don't even want to go in there. But I was just thinking at the top of my head that maybe saying that you're... No, actually, I'm lying. It's not possible.
If you remember, there were a couple of syndicates a while ago.
Yeah.
While we were all using the green
ID book.
Yeah. That used to print the book. You don't have much time. Just saying. I think this year is your deadline. Just saying. So while we were all using the green book, there were syndicates, and I think quite a number of them were nabbed around Hillbro or whatever, that used to create a new identity for you. So you wouldn't have to steal, no one had to steal anyone's identity.
Yes.
They would literally print this thing, Banale Warehouse Nyana, right?
Yeah.
And give you a new number.
Yes.
And you are a new, fresh baby, just born yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And you pick a hospital, and voila, Bob's your uncle. Mm. That used to happen. I'm not sure how possible that is now with the new identity document that they issue. I don't know whether the syndicates have managed to do that. But my understanding is that the more electronic, the more difficult.
Yeah.
And the reason they're pushing for people to move away from the book is precisely for that reason. Mm. So you are likely to see people steal other people's identity rather than create a new identity, because the system just won't allow you. For instance, you would need to have your fingerprints. Your fingerprints are very important. You personally must go to Home Affairs to get that into the system, and then electronically it creates a card for you. So yes, that's what would have happened.
Yeah, so there's no way that you're going to get a new identity number from stealing somebody else's identity.
Yeah, if you steal Ntabi Seng's identity, you are likely going to have a copy of Ntabi Seng's identity, except that maybe the picture's different.
Yes,
but
yes.
Everything about Ntabi Seng will be yours. You would have inherited her identity.
Yes.
So, but lima tata haene.
Correct.
I'm just saying.
Because what I've seen in them...
Because people, I think, don't
realize... They don't realize that part. Because I remember in the few cases that I've dealt with where my guys were being charged. I remember this one guy, Shem, he was being charged with defrauding for Shini 5,000 rand, and then in another one, 8,000. All these places. And then he had never opened an account with them. He didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that eventually got him caught was the fact that he allegedly sent an... that with ShopRite when you send money.
Yes.
That thing.
Yes, yeah.
And then...
The cash transfer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then his cell phone number was used, and then the money never reached where it's supposed to get.
Oh, I see.
So he was detained because of the person who was supposed to receive the money. Mm. And then this is when all of this came out. And then we realized that his identity...
Someone has created a new identity.
Yeah.
His documents.
And so now what needed to be done by the SAPS is that they needed to make requests to get signatures from all these places to compare with his signature, just to get video.
It's a real problem.
Yeah.
This thing is a real, real problem where people can steal the identity and you find yourself
in trouble. Yeah. As a result of somebody else. So that is the downside of it, that you now, as the person whose identity is stolen, you now have to prove that you are you.
About this customary marriage about LGBTQI. Okay, so the Constitution recognizes everybody as human beings, and that is the beauty and the strength of the South African Constitution. We need to have respect for religious and ideas about it. I agree. Constitution rules. That's what I know.
Yeah, I mean, that's hopefully people, you know, that sinks in, but it doesn't always
resonate the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have the issue of the law keeping, the law changing with primary care.
Yeah.
What's been changing?
Well, not necessarily changing, but I think it's re-emphasizing the issue of primary care. In this particular, I forget the parties, but then usually when it involves kids, it's only initial versus initial.
Okay.
So that we can protect the identity of the children.
Yes.
But in this particular instance, mom wanted primary care, but no reason apart from the fact that I believe I am acting in the best interests of this child, and dad, as a dad, does not have the maternal instincts.
So we've and you've represented a lot of men in this regard.
Yeah.
But I'm also told that there is still a bias within the courts about the automatic assumption.
Yes.
That the person who ordinarily should be the primary caregiver is a woman.
Is mom.
It's the automatic assumption.
Yes.
Is that still the case?
It is still the case.
Why?
Especially in the lower courts. I really don't know. I do not have an answer as to why that is. But every time there is a plea from mom, for whatever reason, that I know what's best. Baby likes this, baby likes that, and therefore I should be the one to take care of baby. Then courts are always inclined to give mom primary care. And then there is no real investigation into mom. And when an investigation is requested by dad, it is actually performed. Then things come out that were never exposed in the first place. And this is how we end up having dads having primary care of the minor child.
But generally, for the dad to get primary care, it's a journey.
It's a very
difficult journey. He must prove I'm worthy of being the primary caregiver.
Yes. And the one thing I was discussing with a colleague of mine the other day is, when it comes to divorces, in order for it to be fast and cheap, parties will enter into a settlement agreement. Part of the settlement agreement entails what's going to happen with the minor child. That settlement agreement is made in order of court. And that order of court says dad has access to baby, alternative weekends, school holidays, whatever the case may be. But that as soon as the divorce is done and the decree is granted, the person who has primary care, which is usually mom, doesn't adhere to this and then ends up alienating dad from the baby. And then when dad eventually goes and approaches either children's court or the divorce court or high court again to say this person is not adhering to the order, then mom is saying, but mwana ha se bin tatwa hai. And the reason behind this is that you did not allow
the father
this child
access.
Yes. So now we have to go into reintegration of dad with baby. Now we're getting social workers involved all over again. But we are not addressing the actual issue. The actual issue is that there was a contempt of court. Do you remember 2 years ago, the gentleman who had to go through 5 different contempt of court?
No, it happens a lot, yeah.
And then eventually the court said, you know what, it can't be
enough,
and then sentenced this woman to a year in custody for failure to adhere to a court order. And that is, it consistently happens. And then only when the matter goes to a higher court, when a judge is hearing this matter and looking at the trail, and it's not all the time also, wherein a judge looks at these different court orders which have been ignored completely, instead of saying, let us address this. Before we address that dad has been alienated and we need to integrate him, let's deal with this situation. And then in a young one with the dad, we can work with it with the social workers until the child is comfortable again, and then we move on. And then with that integration, it is also not followed, because you're supposed to bring the child so that the child gets to have this relationship with dad. And then your failure to do so, the social worker can't give a report. Without a report, the court can make an order.
Let's take a listen to another voice note.
Good evening, Aus Pumelo and Nthabi Singh. I just have a question. So last month, I went through a serious depression, mental breakdown at work. And this was then observed through my actions. And so I then went to a hospital the following day, to a mental ward, basically. I come back to work this week, and apparently they're now conducting a hearing for me. So I'm just wondering, is it them trying to find a way to get rid of me, because they clearly saw my state at that time? So I just want to find out, if is it procedure for the workplace to do this, even though they saw my state, that I was actually not in the right state of mind. So yeah, apparently I'm being charged with misconduct or whatever, but I was just devastated that these companies actually don't care about us.
Baba, you're devastated that they don't care. That's the default position. Companies don't care. Let's not get it twisted.
Mm-mm.
No, nobody cares. Nobody. You are there to be productive.
Yeah.
You are there to bring profit into the business. If you are if you're useful, it's great. If you're no longer useful, there will be ways to discuss your departure.
Yeah.
And those conversations, I guarantee you, are happening behind the scenes. I'm sorry you feel this way. I'm really sorry. But I hope, I wish lots of young people who get into the workplace understood. Just saying. Just putting it out there.
I actually thought they're going to have a discussion for medical boarding. Not really. It's a whole disciplinary inquiry. Because
but
the way he started,
if it can happen easier, we can. Look, guys, we've had this conversation before, in Tabi Singh. Constructive dismissal, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately. And I just wish people understood, there's no goodwill here. And it, much as we all want to believe that companies we work for love you, no.
It's a business.
Get love somewhere else,
day.
Papa. Guys, Don't look for love at the workplace.
Mm.
Love from home, your family. Nobody loves you at work.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
So, with the charges that you are facing for misconduct, so now I guess the question would be, are you aware of the incidents that were happening there? If the answer is yes, then I would suggest you prepare, which means they've given you 48 hours for you to prepare so that you can go and give your evidence. Use your medical situation that you went through as a defense, because they were aware of it. And your social worker who you were working with while you were still admitted can make a report to say that as a result of the condition that you were in, it is as likely that you had committed these things. But mental illness is now fortunately starting to be recognized a lot in the labor space. It never used to be. So now it's
but
getting
it depends.
There.
It depends on your company culture.
That's
too.
That's correct.
So I want to say all the nice things, but I think we must give you the, you know, work backwards.
Mm.
Worst case scenario, working forward.
Yeah.
Let us just say you're in one of those companies where it's not something that they embrace.
Mm.
Confront that, deal with that, and accept that. And I think for me, as someone who's battling with mental health, get rid of the other problems that could compound your problem.
Mm.
Forget about the expectation that this place is lovely, it was wonderful. Forget about that. This is a workplace. In my view, don't take it personally.
Mm.
It's just the way corporates work.
Mm.
So it's not about you, it's just the way it is. If you're not productive and you get the sense that, you know, people suddenly want you out, maybe even if it wasn't you, that was always going to happen. You know, so when you go for these hearings, my suggestion is that, you know, big girl panties on, face the music as it is, give them whatever medical reports that you have, and allow the process to take its course, as fair as it may possibly be.
Yeah.
And if it means it ends up at the CCMA, go through those motions. I'm not sure it should be a fight. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think you must go in it fighting. You will always come out the loser.
Also, I'll just say, just so that you understand the notice, have a discussion, if you have time.
Yeah.
Have a discussion with an attorney so they can explain what the legalities.
What it means.
What it means. Mm-hmm. And then when you go in with an understanding
that's
of what you're facing.
That's it. For me, clearly have an understanding of what this means.
Mm.
Be realistic about what it is. Put away the feelings of I love them, they loved me. Put that aside. Look at what's in front of you. Get, you know, the best representation if you can. And for your own mental health, don't feel like it's an attack on you.
Mm.
Because it happens to so many people, unfortunately. And if it ends up going to the CCMA, just again, try and get as best representation as possible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. But no, nobody at the workplace loves you. Sorry.
Nope.
Tabi Singh, thank you. Where do people find you?
People can send us an email on info@dubazanaattorneys.co.za, or they can call us on 087-265-8010, or send us a WhatsApp on 079-654-7523. We are now on number 37 Harley Street in Randburg. And thank you.
Thanks, guys. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.